I'm so glad to get one of these lessons for the young people. At home, once a month, I do a lesson for young people. It started, we had this great big group that was about 9 or 10, I think, when I started doing it with them. And they just about the age where they could start filling in the blanks. And so I'd give them a worksheet, and they'd come sit up front. And that was years ago now, because some of them are in junior high and high school, and they still come and sit up front. And when they graduate, then there'll be another great big group, and they'll be about the same age, and we'll start all over again with them. If I had to start from the beginning, my lesson is about, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, because. If I had to start at the beginning, I'd go have to preach Keith's lesson over again, because I believe there is a God. And then I have to preach Bobby's lesson all over again, because his lesson was, I believe the Bible is God's Word. But I don't have to do that. I can assume you already believe what they said, right? They did a good job. You already believe there's a God, don't you? And you believe the Bible is His Word. And so we can start talking about why we believe Jesus is His Son. But I want to start with a song. I think those of you who've been back in the class with Miss Melanie have sung God Made Me. So have you all learned that really good? Can you sing it really loud? Well, the adults may not know this song. Whoops, that was not supposed to be next. There it is. Okay. Y'all sing along with me, okay? God made the round, round sun. God made the birds that fly. God made the tall, tall trees. And God made me. God made the stars that shine. God made the green, green grass. God made the fish that swim. And God made me. God made the rains that fall. God made the mountains tall. God made the winds that blow. And God made me. Okay, so that was Keith's lesson. We believe that God made all of these things. He is the creator of all of those things. And before that, we sang about the B-I-B-L-E. That's God's Word. And now we're going to show from God's Word, evidence from God's Word, which we believe came from the Almighty God, that Jesus is the Son of God. When I say I believe, what do I mean by that? What do I mean by I believe? When you believe something, you accept that it is true, right? You accept that it's true. It's a fact. It's the reality. What do I believe? Who do I believe in? Young people, who do I believe in? God and Jesus, right? I believe in Jesus. Who was Jesus? He was a man who lived in Palestine, lived in Israel about 2,000 years ago, right? What do I believe about him? I believe he is the Son of God. Son of God. Right. That's what I believe about him. And that means also that he was and is God. We need to believe that he was and is God. Now, I'm not sure exactly what you're to fill in, but pay attention up here, because that'll help you fill in on your worksheets. Is Jesus God the Father? Is he? Is Jesus the same as God the Father?
Yeah.
No. Is Jesus the same as the Holy Spirit? No.
Yeah.
So I don't mean that. I mean Jesus is God the Son. And we won't worry about that too much. But to show you that he was and is God is the important thing. All right. Ethan, will you hit that letter B there for me? Now, I'm assuming Brother Sharp and Brother Graham have convinced you that Jesus is... Did you not finish? Did somebody need it up here? Put it back up here. Hit that B. All right. You can fill it in. You believe the Bible is His Word. But did anybody here raise your hand if you saw Jesus crucified? Nobody saw Jesus crucified? Did you see anybody see Him raised from the dead? Well, don't you have to see something to believe it? Do you? Okay. Raise your hand if you've ever seen President George Bush. TV don't count now. You see Daffy Duck on TV and the Lion King, and they're not real, right? And it don't count. In person. Okay, some of you have. But most of you haven't. Is he real? Do you believe he's real? Yeah. We don't have to see him to believe him. We have evidence that it's true. Now, what do I have here? Okay, now you're going to have to trust me on a little bit of this. Now, suppose you followed me this morning and I was at the Tweedies and I went to the chicken coop. Y'all have a chicken coop, right? And you saw me get this egg from under a chicken. What do you think's in this egg? What's inside this shell? Raise your hand. Somebody tell me what's inside this shell. What's inside this shell?
Chicken.
No. I hope not. That will ruin my whole illustration if there's a chicken. There could be one, but I hope not.
Nothing. That's a fake.
No, it's not fake. You saw me get it under the chicken, remember?
A yolk.
A yolk, which is sticky yellow stuff, right? And slimy white stuff. You think that's in here?
Yes.
You saw me get it, remember?
Okay.
See, it is. You knew what was in here before you saw it, didn't you? You believed it. You believed that was in there if you saw me get it under the chicken, right? Without seeing it. Can you believe in Jesus that He's the Son of God without seeing Him? Yes, you can. Do you remember a man, one of the 12 disciples, who did not think you could believe unless you saw? What was his name?
Thomas.
Thomas said in John chapter 20, I won't believe it unless I see it. Did Jesus agree with him that that was okay attitude to have? Unless you see, you don't have to believe? No, Jesus said, blessed, happy, full of joy and contentment and peace are those who believe and yet have not seen. Right. Now, this doesn't mean we believe without any evidence. So that's what we want to talk about. What is the evidence? I believe Jesus is the Son of God because, number one, He said He was. Okay? That's the first thing. Now, I want y'all to remember these three and say them with me as we go through. I believe Jesus is the Son of God because He said He was. All right, number one, He said He was. Now, if I believe the Bible is God's Word, then I'm going to accept Jesus as the Son of God, aren't I? Because that's what the Bible says. All right, hit that B again for me, Ethan. People who are honest know that Jesus lived. And just about everybody understands and believes that Jesus lived. A man named Jesus lived. But a lot of people don't believe that He was the Son of God. So what is it in the Bible that convinces me that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, He said He was. All right, let's look at some of that. In John chapter 7, verse 46, some bad guys had sent some soldiers to go arrest Jesus. And they came back and guess what? They didn't have Jesus. And they said, the bad guy said, where is He? And do you know what they said? I can just imagine their faces looking kind of like this. No man ever spoke like He did. That doesn't sound like a very good excuse, I'm sure, to the guys who sent them out. But they were amazed when they heard Jesus speak to them. Let's think about some things Jesus said. Jesus said, not even death would stop Him. In Matthew 16 and in verse 18, I will build My church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I believe what He's saying there is not even death can stop Me from building My church. Who would dare to say that not even death could stop Him? Who would dare? Would you dare? Would any of you dare say, I'm going to build something, I'm going to do it, and even if you kill me, it's not going to stop me? It'd stop you dead cold, wouldn't it? So who would dare to make such a claim? Jesus did. All right? I'm going to say this a bunch of more times. Who would dare to make this claim? Jesus did. All right? Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. In John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, God is spirit.
Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. You remember that in verse 24? Then the woman who he's talking to by the well said, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ, and that when he comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. He said, I am the Messiah. Who would dare to say he was the Messiah? Jesus did, right? Jesus did. You know what else he claimed? He claimed to be God. Jesus claimed to be God. He said to some Jews in John chapter 8 and in verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. Do you know what I am means? God had one of God's names in the Old Testament was I am. That was his name. And so Jesus is saying, and he would be saying it in two different ways, wouldn't he? Before Abraham was, well, if you lived before Abraham, and Abraham lived, how long ago? 1850, almost 2,000 years before Jesus. If he's saying that, he'd have to be God to have lived back then, right? But then he says, I am. And he's saying, I'm God. Who would dare to say, I'm God?
Jesus.
Jesus did. Okay. In John 14 and in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'll see how many of you know this verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everybody can come to the Father without me. No? Who can come to the Father without Jesus? No one. No one can go to the Father except through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Now, who would dare to say, you can't get to the Father unless you go through me? Who would dare to say that?
Jesus.
Jesus did. Right. Very good. In John chapter 11, Jesus raised who from the dead in John chapter 11? Anybody know? Lazarus. And Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Now, who would dare to say, even if you die, you'll live through me? Who would dare to say, I'm the resurrection?
Jesus.
Jesus, right. He's the one who said it. Jesus said, my words will judge you on the last day. John 12, verses 48 through 50. My words will judge you. Are Oscar's words going to judge you on the last day?
No.
How about Mr. Keith's?
No.
Mr. Tom's?
No.
How about Mr. Bobby's? Will his
no.
Matt Williams, I bet his words will judge us on the last day. No? Whose words?
Jesus.
Well, who would dare to say, my words will judge you on the last day?
Jesus.
Jesus, right. Jesus claimed, as this is the title of our lesson, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. In John chapter 10, verse 36, he says, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God. Only Jesus would dare to make such a claim. But something that's interesting, some of you adults might want to think about, is how seldom that is recorded, that Jesus said, I am the Son of God, or I am God. I wonder if he's not wanting us to think for ourselves a little bit and draw the right conclusions from the evidence we have about who he really is. But he did say that he was the Son of God. His goodness tells us that he is the Son of God. How many times did Jesus sin? Never. He didn't sin any time. Hebrews 4 and in verse 15. Even though he was tempted, just like we are, he didn't sin. He was without sin. Was Jesus a hypocrite? Anybody know what a hypocrite is? What's a hypocrite? Okay, somebody who says one thing and does something else, right? They claim to be something and they're really something else. Jesus hated hypocrites. Well, I shouldn't say hate. He loved everybody. He hated hypocrisy. He hated what they were doing, the way they were acting as hypocrites. And he condemned them over and over again. Did Jesus say he was something he was not? No, that'd be a hypocrite, wouldn't it? Jesus went around doing good, it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. He spent his whole life going around doing good. Would a good man say, I'm the unique Son of God, if he wasn't? No, a good man wouldn't do that. If a man said, I'm the unique Son of God, and he wasn't, what would he be?
A liar.
A liar, and a liar's not a good man, is he? He's a bad man. But Jesus had a good moral character. Everybody recognized it. And what's the one thing he did that showed what a good man he was more than anything else? No. It's the one thing he did that showed how good he was more than anything else. Yes. Yes. He died on the cross. That one act alone shows us how good he was. All right. All right, we've got number one. We're going to go to number two. I believe Jesus is the Son of God because, number one, he said he was. And number two, because he did many wonderful miracles. All right, number one, he said he was. Number two, he did many wonderful miracles. We don't have time to talk about all these miracles, but Brother Graham asked you about some of them yesterday. So we'll think about some of them. What are some of the things he did about nature? Can you think about a couple of things he did with water? What did he do with water?
Turned water into wine.
What else? He walked on it. All right, there's a couple of things he did with water. What did he do with five loaves and two fish?
He made it so they can feed
5,000. 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. Very good. Oh, there's something else he did with water. There's one more thing he did with water. No, well, he might have. That's right. He was in Egypt. God turned the water to blood.
He made it smell raw.
Okay. Let's go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, though. He did all of those things in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to deny that. You kids are smart. He was out on a stormy sea. What did he do? He calmed the waters, right, that were very stormy. And there's lots of other ones that we could think about in the miracles over nature. He also healed people. All right, raise your hand and tell me what kind of things he healed people from. Okay, he raised people. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to let that be separate. Do you know what he healed people of? Leprosy, that's one. All right, he healed Malchus' ear. Good, that was on my list. There's lots that aren't on my list you might think of. All right, he did that. All right. One thing that I think Brother Graham talked about this too, he healed the blind, right? And look in John chapter 9. I want to look at this one chapter, this one man he healed from being blind. Not the only man. But this man was born blind. And this man was smart enough to figure out who Jesus was. Yeah, but that's not who this man is in John 9. In fact, I don't think we know his name. In John chapter 9, verse 14, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day. Of course, that didn't make the Pharisees very happy, did it? Now look in verse 32. They're questioning him about Jesus. Jesus' enemies, really, are questioning him about Jesus. And he's responding to this. He's saying, we know God doesn't hear sinners, verse 31. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, now this is the blind man, this is what he's telling them. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing, right? But since he is from God, since he healed this blind man, he's the Son of God. Look in verse 35. Jesus heard they put him out of the synagogue. They kicked him out because he said Jesus was from God. And Jesus found this blind man and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" Jesus said, "You've both seen him, and he's the one who's talking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. He was smart enough to figure out who Jesus was. that he was God's son. All right, you talked about some of the other things that he healed. Healed Malchus's ear in the garden when Peter cut it off. Miracles over the spirit world. Now, I'm not going to talk much about this, but remember him casting out demons out of people? And some people just had sicknesses that were caused by demons. One lady had been bent double for 18 years because of something a demon had done, and Jesus straightened her up. Now, can you imagine walking around all day like this, you know, for 18 years? And Jesus healed that woman. Raising the dead. Brother Graham said there were three people who were raised from the dead, but he didn't tell you who they were. So, who are they? Who are the three people? The one's easy, one's kind of medium, and the other one's probably pretty hard.
Lazarus,
that's the easy one. You know another one?
Jesus.
Well, I'm going to say the Father raised him from the dead. Anybody know the other two? One was Jairus' daughter. Remember the synagogue official who came to Jesus and pled for his daughter? And one was the son of a widow from Nain. He was going to a city, and she was coming out with the coffin, and they were going to bury her son, her only son, and she was a widow. And Jesus raised her from the dead. Now, is that pretty impressive, to raise people from the dead? Yeah. Do people do that anymore? No, they don't do that anymore. It's pretty impressive. Could people deny Jesus performed miracles the people who lived with Jesus, did they deny that Jesus performed these miracles? We don't have any record of anybody saying, "You didn't do any miracles, Jesus." They didn't say that. You know what they said instead? Now, they knew he did a miracle. They saw him. All right, you did the miracle, they said, but God didn't give you that power. Who did? Satan. That's what they said. Satan gave you that power. You're just a servant of the devil. That's who you are. Does the devil give people the power to do miracles that do good for people and to help people and teach good things? No. That's God. You know that's a silly thing they said. In fact, they were pretty upset by his miracles in John chapter 11 after he had raised Lazarus from the dead. They wanted to kill Jesus, and guess who else they wanted to kill? Lazarus. Because every time people saw Lazarus walking around, guess what they thought of? Jesus raised him from the dead. So they didn't want him around anymore. Why did Jesus perform all these kinds of miracles? That's exactly right. That's exactly what John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 says. Now, if you haven't memorized these verses, maybe this would be a good memory verse for you at some time. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe what? Jesus is the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life in his name. Okay, we believe Jesus is the Son of God, number one, because he said he was, and number two, because he performed many, okay, we'll just say miracles, all right, his miracles. He said he was, and because of his miracles. Number three, because of his resurrection, all right? Now, I want you to imagine something with me. Anybody like to go to McDonald's? Raise your hands if you like to go to McDonald's. Only the kids raise their hands. Imagine you're sitting in McDonald's, okay? You're sitting in McDonald's enjoying some hot French fries. And suddenly this rather ordinary man stands up and says, "A good friend of mine died, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And I want y'all to go tell everybody. It's important that you go tell everybody that my friend was raised from the dead." What would you do? Okay, here's somebody who's more vocal than me. She's going to go up and tell him. He didn't either. Me, this is what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell all my friends about this kook that I saw in McDonald's, right?
But
maybe so. But why would we think something? Now I'm going to suppose he told you a name of a real person, but why would we think that guy was kind of nuts? But when your Bible class teacher back in here tells you Jesus was raised from the dead after 3 days, you don't think she's crazy, do you?
No, because God raised
Jesus. Right, and we have evidence of that, don't we? We have evidence of that, and that's what we want to talk about. Why should we believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. This is really one of the strongest proofs that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul, as he starts to write this letter, he says that Jesus, he talks about his lineage in verse 3 that Brother Graham talked about last hour. Jesus, in verse 4, was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. What proves that he was the Son of God? The resurrection from the dead. And so it's an impressive proof that Jesus is who he said he was. Did Jesus ever tell his disciples that he was going to die and be raised from the dead? Yes, he did. In fact, he made it so plain that even his enemies clearly understood that that's what he was saying. Do you remember after Jesus had been buried that his enemies went to Pilate and what did they say? What did they say they wanted to be put outside his tomb?
Guards.
Why? Because Jesus had said what?
Because he said he was raised from the dead, and they don't want his disciples to take him away.
Okay. Right. That's exactly right. They remembered that he said that. They understood it. They were his enemies, but they knew he said, I'm going to be raised from the dead. Well, guess what happened 3 days later anyway? He was raised from the dead. They came to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. Even though there were guards out there, the tomb was still empty. What morning was the tomb empty? Raise your hand and tell me what morning the tomb was empty on. Sunday morning. Now, on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, God raised Jesus from the dead. Now, if Peter was lying, what could all those people, at least 3,000, probably a lot more, who heard him say that, what could they all do if he was lying? Yeah, but how would they know that? They could go to the tomb, they could open it up, and they could see his body and say, no, God didn't. There's his body right there. But guess what happened when they went to the tomb to check out what Peter said? There was no body. By this time, they knew that already. By this time, they knew there was no body in the tomb. They did make up a story. Does anybody remember what story the enemies of Jesus made up about what happened to his body? Do you know? Right. Well, look at Matthew 28. And look at this made-up story. And see if you can figure out what's wrong with it. All right? This is your challenge. Young people, you can do it. I want you to tell me why this story that they made up doesn't make any sense. Even if you didn't know they made it up, you would know they made it up just by what they said. All right? The first four verses tell about the resurrection in Matthew 28. Now skip down to verse 11. While they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. They're going to bribe them and give them a lot of money. And here's what you say. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. All right, what's wrong with that story? Okay, number one, how could those disciples roll away this huge stone without waking up the guards? That's number one reason why that story doesn't make any sense. There's another reason. In the story, they said they came and took the body while we were asleep. Exactly! How did they know it if they were asleep? How do they know who stole the body, right? Or what happened to it?
That is one of the stupidest stories I have ever heard somebody make up and try to pawn off on people. And yet, some people still believe it. Isn't that silly? People would believe such a ridiculous story like that. How do we know Jesus was raised from the dead? Because of the witnesses. Jesus had some very close friends, didn't he? Did those close friends expect him to be raised from the dead? Did Jesus ever tell him he was?
Yes.
Yes, but did they expect him?
No.
They didn't understand it. You're right. They didn't understand that he would die. And even after he was dead, they didn't understand that he was going to be raised from the dead. Luke chapter 24 tells all about that. And we don't have time to go and look at it all. But Jesus, especially in one of these stories in Luke 24, verses 13 to 25, is going along the road and he meets a couple of these disciples. And they're all confused about what's happened and what's going on. So they didn't expect it. Secondly, there was a lot of witnesses. Who were the first witnesses? Raise your hand if you know who the first witnesses were of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary.
Okay. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, Joanna. These were the first four to learn about Jesus' resurrection. Does anybody know what's so strange about that? You might not know. Okay, they didn't believe it. There's something else strange about who it was who saw him first. What were they all? Women. They were all women. Why is that strange? Because in those days, women just didn't get as much attention as men did when it came to testimony and things they said. Maybe Jesus was trying to send us a message, do you think? Maybe with that. But anyway, they came back and told the other disciples, and guess what the other disciples said? I didn't believe them, just like we would predict. But they ran.
Peter and John.
Peter and John ran to the tomb. And who got there first?
Peter, John.
John. All right. Just like we would think for Peter, right? Impetuous Peter. He runs right in, and they both see that there's nobody there. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Were they the only ones who witnessed Jesus' resurrection? No, they weren't. Okay, look in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That he appeared to Cephas. Now, this is a hard, tricky question. Who is Cephas?
Peter.
Appeared to Cephas, or Peter, and to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than, just like Joey said, 500 brethren at one time. That's a lot of witnesses, isn't it? That's plenty of witnesses to establish a case. All right, so we know he was raised from the dead because of the facts, because of the witnesses. And in fact, these witnesses, who were many, were also frightened before Jesus was raised, weren't they? What so frightened was Peter? Now, remember what kind of personality Peter has. Is Peter shy? He's not shy, I don't think. He's kind of courageous, and he jumps into everything. But when he was in the courtyard of the high priest and all of his enemies of Jesus were saying, you're one of his disciples, what did Peter say?
No,
I'm not.
No, not
that's right, I swear I don't even know him. He was scared, wasn't he? Peter was scared. And the other disciples were scared too, because they weren't even in the courtyard. Guess where they were? They all ran away. That's how scared they were. Everybody was scared. But now, after Jesus was raised from the dead, how long did it take him to stop being scared? Not very long. After all, if you saw somebody raised from the dead, you'd be pretty impressed with that person, wouldn't you? You wouldn't be scared to stand up for such a person anymore, I don't think. And Peter wasn't. On the day of Pentecost, he stood right up. All the rest of them did too. And what happened in Acts chapter 4 when they brought him in and said, don't you preach about Jesus anymore? What'd they do as soon as they let him go?
He preached about Jesus.
And went back out and taught about Jesus again, didn't they?
And they arrested them again. This time they didn't let them off with just warning. What did they do this time? They beat them. Tell them, now we told you, don't you go preaching that stuff anymore. So what did they do as soon as they got out? Went back preaching again. They're brave. Now, do you know why? Oh, because they made up this great story about Jesus raising from the dead. And he's really, they stole his body and stuck it away somewhere. And that's why they're so brave now. That doesn't make sense, does it? No, it's because they'd seen Jesus and they were inspired by that. How about Paul? Is Paul impressive? This is later. I'm way behind here. This is much later. Paul, who does he see? Acts chapter 26. Who does he see as he's going to persecute, going to kill and lock up Christians? Who does he see on the road to Damascus? Jesus, right? And when he hears this voice out of heaven, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But get up, stand on your feet, for this purpose I appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things you have seen, but also to the things I will appear to you." What was Paul doing before he saw Jesus?
Persecuting,
killing, locking up Christians. What did he do after he saw Jesus? He started preaching Jesus. What can explain that? How do you explain a man changing so to do the opposite of what he did before? He saw Jesus raised from the dead, didn't he? And that changed his mind. Now, what does all this mean? Let's go back through those three things. I believe Jesus is the Son of God because, number one, he said he was. Number two, his miracles. Number three, his resurrection. You can remember those three things, can't you? And now if anyone asks you, why do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? You can obey 1 Peter 3:15. You can give an answer. Because he said he was, his miracles, and his resurrection. Remember simple things like that, and they'll help you to answer for what you believe. But what does it mean? First of all, could there be any stronger evidence than what we have? What would be better than what the Bible says? The Bible tells us, Peter saw him, John saw him, the other apostles saw him, 500 brethren. What would be better than that to prove that Jesus was raised from the dead? Oh, come on, maybe you can think of something better. Can't you think of something better? What would be better proof? How about a picture? A picture of Jesus raised from the dead. Wouldn't that be better? Oh, what about a movie? A movie, a DVD. I can stick it in my DVD player. And there is Jesus rising from the dead. Is that better than the eyewitnesses? Why isn't it better? Could I fake a picture? Oh, yes, you can. Somebody faked a picture of me in a Halloween costume with my arm around another girl. They faked that picture to try to get my wife to get mad at me. It really was fake, Melanie. It really was. You can fake a picture. Can you fake a movie? All the movies are fake. Unless they're out there videotaping something that really happened, they're all fake. Could you fake a videotape? Yes, you could fake all of that. You could just as easily fake those as you could lie. Eyewitness testimony is still, to this day in this country, counts as more than a videotape in a court of law. Eyewitnesses count for more. Their testimony is more credible. Jesus, God gave us the highest form of evidence, the greatest possible evidence we could have. Now, what does it mean to us who believe? It means we can have the forgiveness of our sins. Sometimes we forget that it's the resurrection that gives us hope. Not just Jesus dying on the cross. That's what enabled us to have our sins forgiven by his bloodshed. But if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, would anybody care about a poor carpenter in a land nobody really cared much about, who lived and died without ever writing a single word that we know anything about. Would anybody care about him? No. Nobody would care anything about Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." What gives me the hope of a place in heaven reserved for me? Jesus and his resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It also means one more thing. He'll judge us. God will judge us through Jesus. God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent because he's fixed a day in which he will judge the world through a man whom he's appointed. How did he appoint him? As our judge? By raising him from the dead. Now that one verse really sums up this whole point about the resurrection. Having furnished proof to all men. Here's the evidence that we're talking about in this lectureship. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, there's lots of other arguments that we could look at to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But each one of these almost would stand by itself. The witnesses, the resurrection, Paul's conversion all by itself is really about enough proof. But I think we've studied enough to show you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The resurrection is the most powerful of these evidences. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 through 19, Paul writes that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, guess what we should all do right now here sitting here? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, go home. We just might as well go home. Well, you're going to get to go home anyway. But we shouldn't come back. We should throw our Bibles in the garbage can. If he wasn't raised from the dead, we have no hope at all. How much is this worth? No, it's not. It's worth nothing. This is worth nothing. It's a piece of a dollar bill. It's worth absolutely nothing. There might be some neat things in the Bible, but without the resurrection, this is what it's worth. If Jesus is not the Son of God, this is what all the rest of it is worth. But what if I have the rest of it? Now what's it worth? Now it's worth a dollar. And when we have the resurrection of Jesus Christ and we believe and know that he is the Son of God, we have the rest. Thank you.